the one place where Yaakov, this is where Yaakov was nevak with the Malach Shel Maila, and this is where Yaakov was nifka. So the pegi and the pegam, whatever happened, is something that shaykh to us. Like Chazal say, shaykh to later days. So let's try to understand a little bit about the Indian over here. First of all, it says that the place where he was, Vayakla Yochaloi Vayiga, he saw that he couldn't overpower him. Vayiga Bekaf Yerechai. And so he touched at his hip. So the Pgia was a Pgia. Since he couldn't, he touched him in the Kaf Yerech. In Kaf Yerech. So what's the... It's a little of a stira. If a person... If I say that somebody can't overpower someone else, so at least he does one thing. If he can do one thing, means that in a certain way he can overpower him. What was the... What could he do? What could he do? So Chazal say in the Medrash, it says that it means his children were affected, not him. I try to understand what's the Indian that the Pegiya was dafka the Kaf Yerech. And we have a Zecha for it. We have a Zecha from of the Gira Noshe. Secondly, the etzem zikaron that we make for the Gira Noshe, the Rishonim say pretty much that the pshat is it's a zecha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was matzil and shema and tzadikim and so on. That's a zecha of Gira Noshe. Lemaisa, all the times that we have a zecha for good things, for atzolos, yeshuas, it always comes with a mitzvah zesei. Echais halal, matzah, there's this a chametz also, but the matzah, echais sukkahs, always whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a nes of atzolah, and so it's a positive inyan. Here, all it is an issa. So Bal Kochach, there's a zecha in Gira Noshe, there's something here that is ke'ilu, we stay away from something that the malach was pegea. There's a tzad to it, that since the malach was pegea something, we have to stay away from something. The etzim issa of Gira Noshe, there's an interesting nafkemina between Gira Noshe and other Yisurim, almost directly opposite. In all Yisurim, the heft of the issa always is in the place where there is tam. L'moshe macholos asuris. If macholos asuris that are all things that are that have a good tam, plus minus. If they're all things that have tam, if the tam itself stays without the thing itself, it also has the tzad issa. You have tam ki ikka. You have by chalov varayis by macholos asuris. Even if the person's misasik, he's over. Because still, since he had the time, since he enjoyed it, the enjoyment itself is considered the avera. Me'idach gisa, if let's say you have food that lost its taste, something that becomes totally dry and tasteless, there's a tzad heter in most inyanim that at least it's shalok derech achilasei, whatever it is, it's muta. In Gira Nosh, it's the exact opposite. Gira Nosh itself, the heft of the isur, has no time. It's like an eitz yavish, and it's tasteless. It's a nafkemina, it's machlekes about the basim. But the gira nosha itself is b'li tam. The shamnunis around the gira nosha, which is something that does have tam to it, that halach is usur only al seminas. You know, it's klal yisrael was noig isur in the shamnunis also, but the etzem isur is in the thing itself. In something that has no taste whatsoever. It's tasteless, it's dry, it's like a stick, like a dry stick. The part of the Gira Nosha comes with a part that does have a taste, and it is something that has its shamnunis and has something to it, that's only also mitzad miras chesidus. But then I call the Isurim, it's the other way around. The Isur itself is a cheftz of hado, and the other yonim is afagrim. There's another, the Zohar brings that Gira Noshe is Miloshen Nashio. The word Nun Shin Hei means to forget. Like you see by Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, Kinashane, by Yosef, he called the son Menashe, Kinashane El Kivasal Moli. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me forget. The word Gira Noshe, the Zohar says, comes from the word to forget. The gid of forgetting. So, what's the forgetting over here? Another thing about the forgetting, the Chazal say that the Malach, that had his first encounter with the Malach start, he started transporting goods from one side of the river to the other side, and he kept forgetting. He kept finding again and forgetting, finding. It was also a process of kilu that he forgot things and brought them back. He kept going back to things he forgot. Kilu, there was a malach, and he turned to the malach and said, "There's something wrong with you. You're a strange person. You're causing all these things. It needs a havana." What? Okay, so let's be mispoken a little bit. Also, I mean, one more nekuda. The end of it, it says that when did Yaakov get healed? So it says, "Vayizrach Hashemesh, Vayizrach lo Hashemesh kasha overas penuel v'tzalel yerechoi." So it says that the Zricha Shemesh was his refuah. The shining of the sun, the coming, the rising of the sun was his refuah. It also needs Havana what, and the place is called Penuel. Okay, let's be misplaced a little bit. The Zohar says another thing. He says that the Malach, it's put down in Medrash in a few places. The Medrash bring it down, Rishonim bring it down. It says that when the Malach was fighting with him, he said, let's take a look. The Malach saw that it was someone he couldn't overpower. And so he started feeling Yaakov to see if Yaakov has knees or joints. Joints is the right word for it. It says he started feeling to see if he has kfitzim. He said, the Malach said, who is this that I'm fighting? Is it a Malach or is it an Adam? I have to see, what am I fighting here? So so he said, I'll see if he has kfitzim or not. And he started feeling to see if he has joints, and then he found the hip. So he moved the hip out of place. I mean, so you see that the machlekes, the point of weakness of Yaakov was specifically the hips or the joints, because malachim don't have it. What's the Indian malachim? It says takim malachim elam kfitzim, malachim can't walk. It says veragleim regel yeshara, they have a straight foot, because malachim are jointless. That's why they can only fly. They don't have joints. And that seems to be ki'ilu something that's specific to a malach. That defines a malach as opposed to Adam. Adam, a person himself, comes in three halakim. When we said it over once, we said over Malbim and the Mishkan. The three halakim are roughly the head. There's the upper part of the body where the heart is the central feature of it. And then there's from the hips and down. The top, it's the Svarim bringer, Melech, the Moyach, the Seichel is the king of the top part, which is the head. It's joined to the body by the neck, and then the second part of the body is the heart, is that's the Lamed Melech, as Oisis, is Melech, Lev, Moyach, Lev, and Kovid. The second part is the heart, which is at the heart and the lungs are the main components of the second half of the body, the hands, the heart, lung, hands. That's kilu. That's a second chelik, and the lave is the melech there, and the third chelik is the feet, and that includes the lower, you know, the intestines, the yivarim of perivivia, and the feet. Those are the three chalak of a person. And the kaved is the melech of the lower hand. Each one has a different chelik of avoda. Each one has each part of the body has a different nekuda in how it's supposed to shtolzach to the kaimus Adam. The seichel of the person is supposed to be supreme. That's supposed to be shoylan on the person, and it's supposed to direct the person, decide for the person, focus the person. Everything that the seichel does is the malchus be'etzem on the guf. The second half is the second third is the lave, and that's where a person's emotions, when a person's misbinding and a person is thinks about Gadlus HaBoyrei and Nifloisa Yisparach, a person's emotions are supposed to become turned on. A person's feelings, emotions are supposed to respond to the stimulus of his awareness, and that becomes like almost like a fiddle responding to a fiddler. It begins to sing. It begins to respond with emotion, with feeling, with life. A person who's turned on breathes heavier. A person who's excited, his heart beats faster. It doesn't initiate a process, but it responds with its own mechanism. The seichel itself has no real mechanism of response, and the person's next third in response to it, and like a person who's turned on to Avedis Hashem, he responds and so on and so forth. What about the third chiluk? How does that fit in to the person? So the answer is that the third chiluk, its avoda is to have no mitzias of its own. In other words, whatever the lower part of the body does, it's not like the heart or the lungs, which are the emotional response, where it has in itself an avoda. The avoda of the lower part of the person is to support everything that is being done without having any sense of self. Lamashal, when a person has in a hierarchy, let's say in a business hierarchy, in a government hierarchy, there are people, there's the person on top. It's his ideas, it's his decisions, it's his direction. Then there's people that he's messiahites with. When he calls them in and asks for their advice, they're supposed to give him advice. They're not supposed to start anything rolling by themselves. They're not supposed to start an idea rolling. But when he asks them and consults them, they're supposed to give advice and sort of be on par. Then there's a tremendous, then there's support staff that the less they're noticed, the better they are. The ultimate secretary is someone that's not noticed. It's just the papers come through. The ultimate cleaner is someone that you don't notice him around, just the floors are cleaned. V'chulu v'chulu. The part that's called support is, it's supposed to respond instantly to the needs of what's on top, and not in any way demand anything for itself. Not be koivea any mitzvahs for itself. So the whole chelik of the body of the tachtonim is supposed to be kulei batel tol yoinim, and that's its mitzvahs. Its mitzvahs is that it responds without even thinking. A child, when he's born, does not know how to walk. Walking starts as a conscious act. It's very interesting that the hands are immediately a subconscious, a reflexive action, completely. The child plays with his hands from the very first moments. There's no process of learning how to do with your hands. With the feet, it's an interesting process. It starts with the child not knowing how to walk and has to consciously learn how to place a foot on a foot and experiment with it. At the point where walking becomes natural, chas v'shalom, that a person has to think how to walk. Walking is supposed to be something, the person wants to go, he's there. It's not supposed to have any, it's not supposed to get a feel of itself. People that unfortunately are impaired in some way, or become impaired, have to make a conscious effort to walk. But it's not supposed to be that way. So the ultimate of that chelik and guf is the same thing with the stomach. The stomach is supposed to serve the person's needs. It's supposed to, whatever the person needs energy-wise, the stomach is supposed to take in and assimilate. If the stomach gets a sense of self, it gets its own desires, its own needs, that's a pgam. It's not good. The part, the feet are called raglayim. The word, and this sort of speak about it a lot, but the word hergel, meaning habit, comes from the word regel. It's for the raglayim. When a person davens out of habit, it's bad. When a person learns out of habit, it's bad. When a person takes care of his functions out of habit, that's good. It's the whole chelik of the body that does not meant to have. If a person thinks about eating and it becomes a focus of desire and of thought and emotion, it's not good. It's supposed to be natural. The person is supposed to take his needs and so on as per the needs of the seichel and the lein. So the chelik of the body that's called raglayim, that chelik fakert, its avoda is supposed to be an avoda where it has nothing of its own, and it's bottled to the needs of the lev and the moach. That's its real mitzias. So hergel is good. Raglayim and hergel as raglayim are good when it's done on this level. When it's on the level of guf, it's supposed to be good. Ultimately, it says by David HaMelech, it says that Omarti Echshavas Drachai, David HaMelech said, the Gemara explains it in the Pasuk Tehillim, that David HaMelech used to make a decision, used to have to sit up and make a decision, should I go to the Beis Medrash or not? V'raglai melicha says the Beis Medrash, and my feet carried me to Beis Medrash. I didn't realize where I was and all of a sudden I was in the Beis Medrash. I was once teaching Brazilians in Ishtar, and there was a new bacha there, and I asked the one who brought him in, tell me about him, what is he like? So he says he's typically Brazilian. So I asked him, what does that mean? So he said he has tremendous ambitions and intentions, but wherever he starts out to, he ends up at the beach. He said he doesn't know himself how he got there. He just knows that wherever he started out, he ended up in the beach. That's where the site, the raglayim go to the beach. That's where the raglayim are tuned into. The raglay David HaMelech went to the Beis Medrash, and our raglayim go someplace else. So the chelik of the guf, the chelik of that guf is where it becomes an unconscious, subconscious type of activity. And its shleimus is when what a person does subconsciously is in tune with what he really thinks he should be doing. In the Avos, Avraham Avinu, it says hikir es bayrei. The act of hakara was Avraham Avinu. There's a lashon in Chazal, Avraham Avinu was philosoph gadol. The act of starting had to be with the seichel. It had to be with an act of understanding. Avraham Avinu was the first one who ideologically, it says like we saw in the Rambam, he was pondering. Avraham's life was a life that started with pondering, could it be that there's no balabira? It's a love. So Avraham Avinu did a maisa of hakara, which is a maisa seichel, and that's where it started from. The Yitzchak is the amud of avoida. He was the carbon oila tamid. He was called an oila tamid. Avoida is avoida shabalev, and his b'mele his chelik was the chelik shabalev. The tikkun of Yaakov Avinu was supposed to be the tikkun on raglayim. That says on the last chelik, the fact that even when Klal Yisrael is not the chelik of Klal Yisrael that's subconscious, the chelik of Klal Yisrael that's automatic, should be in the same place where the head and the lev are. And that's the reason why Yisrael Afi Shechot Yisrael, who, because there is a nekuda of Yisrael that is subconscious to a person, even in the biggest Russia, there's a chelik in the raglayim that at some point can do the right thing. We'll see in a second. So b'meila, Yaakov Avinu's chelik is the chelik that was supposed to be attacking that. I want to say something. I don't mean it as a play of words. There's a tremendous nekuda there. It says the Gemara says a lot of times, sheker ein lo raglayim, or faket, when we have something that doesn't have a clear raya, the Gemara calls it raglayim ledava. The pshat is like this, in the sense that we're explaining it. When a person tells a sheker, the way to catch a person that tells a sheker, when you interrogate somebody, you don't have to torture him to ascertain the fact that he's lying. A good cross-examination doesn't need to torture anybody. I mean, as long as the person's answering. There is no way that every memela detail, a person can plan out with a seichel a story from the beginning till the end. But there's no way in which every memela detail will follow along. It's not possible. So with enough questioning, there will be lapses and there'll be contradictions. On the other hand, something that's true, 1,001 small things will click in. None of them are an absolute proof, but every little corner that sticks out ties into the Metzius. So sheker in the raglayim means you can build a sheker until the raglayim, but the chelik that's not conscious of it, those details that you didn't put any thought into, are going to mess you up. That's one of the understandings of sheker in the raglayim. When we speak about raglayim ledovel, much by Saita and other places, what it means is there is no raya, mitayrus raya, there's no proof that you can call that proof. But on the other hand, the small details click in. That's the raglayim. Yaakov's midah of emes is the pshat. Emes applies itself to the raglayim. Emes has raglayim, sheker ein lo raglayim. One of the facets of raglayim, not raglayim, is the memeldik part. And emes, no matter how you turn it and twist it, and do with it, it's always emes. There's no in sheker, it's not like that. In sheker, as soon as you get past the part that was pre-planned, it falls apart. That's one of them. So Yaakov Avinu's, the chelik of Yaakov Avinu's tikkun was supposed to be a tikkun on raglayim. That's the mokum that was left for him. Malachim, the bria of Malachim is, the Rambam says, there's a shayla in the Gemara of, there's not a Gemara, sorry, it's a shayla of Shayim, big machlok of Shayim, where the people are chesh or Malachim, not chesh, we spoke about it on Shabbos. The everybody understands that mitzad the mahalchi avayid of Adam is chesh of the Malachim. A person can become much bigger, and Malachim, the Rambam says, are beings that are kuloi a tfisa and a saga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what they are. They don't have another part that they're dragging with them. The Ramchal brings, I don't know if it's a price or not, I never found it exactly where he says it. Ramchal brings in one of his last sharim, I think it's a sharim, towards the end, Ramchal brings, it says Malachim do not have a backside, oiref. They don't have the back part of the body. It was the whole back. They don't have an oiref. That's one thing. Ve'elahem ifui, and they don't become tired ever. It says there's a few things. These are two things I'm picking out of the whole thing. It's elam loy oiref loy ifui. They don't have. It's as if they're split into half lengthwise, and they don't become tired. The pshatner is both of them come together. A person's body is built in a way, the front part of the person is ke'ilu, the part of the person that's involved, that's doing, that's active, that's the part of the person that is doing what he wants to do. And then he schleps along a second half. The whole back part of the person is expressionless, it doesn't do anything, doesn't want anything, and the person is schlepping along another part. When a person is tired, it means, it's like a locomotive with wagons. The person has a locomotive himself, but the locomotive is schlepping a lot of wagons that are just dead weight. When a person goes to do something, so when he's enthusiastic, it's as if his heart and mind are doing, they want, they do, they act, they're all into it, the person into it, but he's dragging along a whole body that's less than happy to be there. And as the body becomes heavier, it begins to pull him down and he becomes tired. That is sort of the understanding. So malachim do not have any part that is not the shlichus. A malach is completely the act that he's doing. So that's why their feet have no joints, because they're not a separate entity. The joint means it's interesting. The neck and the neck is fixed. It's a fixed piece that connects. It's a distance between the mind and the heart, but it's fixed. It's there. So the connection between the lev and the moyach, we can only something can stop the connection, but the thing itself is in place. The hip is something that's joined only because it's in place. It could be dislocated also. The lower part of the person can be dislocated and it can take on an entity to itself. One of the viduyim we say on Yom Kippur is raglayim rotzeis lahara, feet that run to do bad. It's very interesting. It's a very interesting melitza. I mean, we're speaking of the feet running to averis. I mean, the person is the one that's running to averis. When we're speaking in Tzolzak, we speak about different parts of the body that did averis. So we speak of raglayim ratzis lahara, and it strikes a person. When we speak of a tongue that speaks, we have a loose tongue. People understand it as such. It's as if the person didn't want to say something and the tongue said something it shouldn't have said. We relate to it as being a separate entity. Eyes, we relate to as the eyes seem to focus on what they want to focus. The feet running to do ra, it seems strange to us, as if the feet have a mitzvah of their own. The Torah says, Adrab, the vidui is that the minute the raglayim are rotzois, they're lahara. The minute the feet are the ones that are acting, they act on their own. So let's try to recapture, then we'll try to understand the idea. So you have in a person's avoda, there are the higher parts of a person, their avoda is self. It's thinking about a Kaddish Baruch Hu. There's the heart, which is feeling about a Kaddish Baruch Hu, being turned on. And then there's a chelik of the body that the avoda with that chelik is that it should fit perfectly into it, the ball should fit in the socket perfectly, and there should be no discrepancy between what the higher part of the person wants and what the lower part of the person is doing. The lower part should never get a dynamics of its own. It should always be bottled to the Elyonim. When the Malach was fighting with Yaakov, and he couldn't find any place, when he was sparring with him, he couldn't find a place that was a weak point, he felt that he was a Malach, until he found this weak point. In other words, the difference in the one place that a Malach is stronger than Adam is this Nekuda. In the Nekuda of the Yerech, where there is a part of the person that is disjointed, the Raglayim Yeshara of the Malach is that what he does, his chelik that can do, is synonymous with the doing. There is no second part. It's one thing, and that's why he flies. Flying always implies, when you walk, it's step by step. You could stop at any one step. Flying is like a missile. You shoot it to its target, so it's there. There is no, the walking is not an activity of its own. When something shoots out to a place, it's one straight shot. So a malach is its doing of the thing, and its understanding is one and the same. By a person, it's not the same. The gid is called gid anashe from forgetting, because that's what it's supposed to be. That part of the body is supposed to function subconsciously. It's supposed to function without the person's awareness of it, without the person's sima slave to it. That's what it's so to get a nashia is called nashia forgetting, because that's supposed to be its metzias. When the malach disjointed it, not dislocated it, it meant that no longer could a person function. No longer could a person rely that if he's mitakin del yoinim, the tachtoinim will go automatically with it. That stopped at that point. So the pegiah in Yaakov Avinu was a pegiah that there could not be a part of the person that would function automatically, because he understands that this is true and that's true and so on. The Balamusa, the Altam Kelim, has a very famous shmuz. It's called Haguf Oise Shaloi. It goes like this. He brings out a few chazal. For instance, it says Vatitzchak Sarah Bekirva. Sarah laughed. She reacted by laughing. It says the Moshe Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol, it was a nace that a Kohen Gadol never saw carry on Leil Yom Kippurim. I mean, you're talking about the Kohen Gadol and Leil Yom Kippur, and it's considered a nes that Leiroi carry. I mean, it's Meshunadik. Why? So the Shmuz is called Haguf Oisa Shaloi. Very famous Shmuz, and in some ways, it's one of the Yisoides of Musa, really. That the body does not act in consonance with a person's understanding. It's not true that when a person understands something, the body flies along naturally. The body has a dynamic of its own. And that's the pegiah in Yaakov. When a person limps, a person has to think about each step that he makes. When a person's feet are in place, then he just glides wherever he wants, like Vayisa Yaakov Esraglov. His feet just carried him straight to wherever he wanted to go to. The minute you push the foot out, it's a conscious decision. Each step is a conscious decision. And that's why the Pella is, the Gira Nasha means that the Isser is the part that has no tam. That we can no longer rely on the chelik that is subconscious, and we have to rely dafka on the chelik that has tam. Dafka on the chelik that, the iser is on the part that is tasteless, that's without tam, without seichel, let's call it, and the part, because what happened is from the pegiah of Yaakov, it no longer became possible to imagine that things will come along, but rather it's the person has to make an effort to walk, and that's the pshat fatizach hashemesh. If we're to look at it in sense of deiris, we look at it in a perspective of deiris. So choshech is the time of hestaponim, of galus and so on, and zrichas ha'or is the time of aras ponim. Yaakov Avinu, as long as it's hest upon him, then the feet are distinct from the body, and you limp. When there's a zrichas Hashemesh, when there's a ha'ara, then it becomes. That's when it's possible to that the walking should be exactly in line with the thoughts. Take it a little bit in our perspective. The Zohar says, and it's very famous, everybody quotes this always, that the pgiya in the feet was tamchen d'oraisa. The actual lashon is samchen d'oraisa in the Zohar. That the ke'ilu, the body, the top part of the body of the talmidei chachamim that are learning, and the support system is called samchen d'oraisa, tamchen d'oraisa, and the pgiya was between the two halves. And that is a... and that's forever been the drushes of people raising money about the pgi and the tamch and the raisa versus the loim deter, which is definitely it's true b'metzias. But the Sforim say also that in every person the body is mechulik into two, and it lends itself in both perspectives. People think when they get turned on, a person hears a shmooze that he happens to like, a person. If it has a downfall and he feels really, really smitten. A person has this iris, a person has Yom Kippur. There are a lot of matzavim in a person's life that he gets turned on. And then his actions don't follow along. So there are two mistakes in the direction. Either a person gets depressed and he says, I'm a hypocritic or I'm fooling myself, I don't really want this. That's one direction where a person takes that's so b'meili he drops it all. There's a second direction. You talk to a person, I mean, you talk to people are nice guys, yeah, they're good, they're fine, they agree. You'd stop people on the street, very few people would disagree in principle on various inyanim of chesed or whatever it is. But when it comes to lemaisa, there's no lemaisa. I mean, it's a stalker. Everybody agrees stock is important, isn't that if you take percentages of what people give, very few people, unless they make a conscious effort to give maisa, very few people give maisa. But it's an agreement to the principle. There's no. A person has to understand that chelik of avoida, and the truth was, the second half was probably what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was mechadish in Musa. Musa accomplished two things. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was mechadish. Everybody learned Sifra Yira. There was no one disagreed with the need to learn Sefer Yira. Rabbi Yisrael was mechadish two chidushim. The first chidush was that Musa is worthless if you're sitting with your feet on a desk reading a Musa Sefer. That Musa has to be done in a way that makes an emotional impact on a person. Quiet, in a room alone, no one else is bothering you, you're singing it with a sing-song, with a niggun, and you keep singing it, you keep chanting the chazal until you feel that it's cut your knife, it's cut your heart like with a knife. That is one chiddush of Yisrael. That unless Musa gets through to the emotional point, it has no effect on the person. So that's where the surah of Musa, where it's supposed to be learned, Besfasai and Dolkis and so on, that's where that comes from. There was a second area that Rabbi Saul's mechadish. Rabbi Saul's mechadish that even if you get turned on, midas and a person's guf don't follow along. They don't come automatically. And a person, unless a person has a conscious program on how to follow along on his ideals, he will not. Sometimes a big chelik of Avedis HaMusa, and that's why Rabbi Yisrael printed up Cheshbon HaNefesh, which was a sefer written by someone that wasn't from, but he felt that it was very good direction on how a person can succeed in working with himself. A person takes midas, and a person takes and works on it step by step to reach his goal. So a lot of times, on the one hand, you take a person and you turn him on. So the first mistake the person makes is, yeah, I really want to learn, I set up my mind to learn, and I'm going to learn from now on. But besides your lack of motivation, there's a whole body that comes with it. Can you sit 10 hours and learn or not? Most people can't. There's a lot of problems in the tzura of the learning. How, you know, what are you doing to change the tzura? What are you doing to change the problems that got you in this rut in the first place? A person gets this iris in davening. But all these iris, they're like sparks and they're like on spark plugs. If there's no fuel and there's no engine that's running smoothly, the spark doesn't go anyplace. The raglayim just don't go along automatically. From the pgiyah of Yaakov Avinu onwards, there is no such thing as raglayim going automatically. We limp. And limping means you have to, each time you lift your foot, it's an avoida. No matter what is iris a person does, it's not going to happen automatically. Unless a person sits down and says to himself, let's identify the problems. Let's make a system of what we're going to do. And how am I going to check myself that I'm doing it? And if a person doesn't have that, then it's in vain. I mean, a lot of times you feel it's a bracha of atola to be more somebody to do something when nothing's going to happen out of it. It's like giving resuscitation to a dead body. So the body will jump and but that's it. I mean, it's going to fall back down again because there's nothing there. We're now coming, Baruch Hashem, we're now coming to Tekufa where we have time to learn. People who have some sheikhs to, you know, most people I'm sure have some sort of feeling, listen, it's been so splotchy the last few weeks. Let's now it's going to be different. But if the problem is that the system's not in place, if the problem is that the person himself, his learning is not productive the way he's doing it, if whatever the reasons are, then it's going to flop. So two things. A person has to understand that no matter what his iris is, it's going to need every morning, he's going to have to schlep himself out of bed again. And he's going to have to schlep himself to Seder. There is no matziv where one time his iris is going to have a person flying like a malach from, you know, in and out, you know, at the right times, right places. A person knows that being mekavel himself, when a person thinks of being mekavel on himself to do the right things, he has to think of the hard times. He has to focus on the hard times, schlepping himself to Beis Medrash. Not the learning 24 hours in Beis Medrash, but schlepping himself out of bed to go to Beis Medrash and schlepping himself back again and forcing himself. It's going to require that. And secondly, a person has to be mezbeinin when. A person has to be explaining what exactly is it that the weak spots are in the feet, how to move his feet, where to move his feet. There's an avoda. They don't work automatically anymore. They're not raglayim anymore. If they are raglayim, they're rotzis lahara. They don't have any more raglayim melichos as the Beis HaMedrash. A person has to put effort and time and. The best person is the person himself because he knows himself. He knows exactly what it is that he can do. Maybe he has to learn two or three different things. Maybe a straight 4-hour seder is not good. He has to let him make his shmiras, let him make his gedarim. If he has to go out for 10 minutes, how does he know that in 15 minutes he's back in the Beis Medrash? And if a person doesn't give any thought to that, it's worthless. But tuach that will not follow along. It'll limp a step or two and that'll be the end of it. And when a person does get himself in that, and a person zoicha to ha'orah shemesh, to fayizach ha'shemesh, that's the refuah comes someday when either the klal or the prada zoicha to ha'orah shemesh, and everything is clear and everything is boyer, that'll be the ultimate when the raglayim for omdu ragla v'yemahu is about Mashiach, that the tikkun of the raglayim, that his raglayim will stand on the har. Until that time, the Bahari Uriah was for Avram, for Yitzchak. If on the Raglov, on the Ha, that'll be the ultimate. When a person thinks and wants and desires, the Raglayim will follow automatically. Shams.